The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And before we get underway with our second interview, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we certainly love hearing from all of you. And of course, you can send us emails at info@eradiosports.com. We are locked and loaded, ready to go with our Under the Helmet segment. And joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line is our good friend, our good buddy, Husker great Jason Peter. And all I have to say is, Jason, where in the world do you start? There's so many compelling storylines. First of all, Colorado jetting Dan Hawkins, but these off-field accusations and the controversy surrounding Auburn's Cam Newton, here he is at the forefront. He's at the top in terms of the Heisman, but it really doesn't, is it going to impact him, or he doesn't seem to be impacted as far as in terms of his play? He's been playing really well.
He has been playing well, but I'll tell you this, as a Heisman voter, as all the garbage that we've gone through with Reggie Bush, this is sitting in the back of, well, I'll speak at least from my point of view, it's sitting in the back of my mind, because I don't want there to be another situation 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road where Cam Newton then is enjoying the success of the NFL and he comes out and says, okay, I did accept something, or as Reggie Bush, he tries to say that I still have no knowledge. It wasn't me, maybe my stepfather, but you know, it's ludicrous to think that there aren't temptations by these kids. This is a kid that had some adversity against him when he was at the University of Florida, I believe, is his freshman year, something with a stolen computer.
Right.
I think you've got to look at that as well as the situation he's in now. Sometimes trouble just seems to follow certain kids. And I'm all about giving second chances and third chances and fourth chances. But I think you'd have to be ignorant not to at least look at it realistically and say that, hey, this is a possibility here. And you just hope that the truth comes out prior to the Heisman Trophy being awarded, or even a national championship, because that certainly would tarnish it as well, that your starting quarterback, the Heisman Trophy candidate, is surrounded with controversy, and you've seen what happened with USC out there with having to forfeit all their wins. It's something that it certainly gives us a lot to talk about in the sports world.
Jason, do you like how Auburn is handling the controversies? I mean, I did have an opportunity to watch Cam Newton's press conference. I thought he seemed uncomfortable, uneasy. He was very evasive. I mean, why not, you know, fess up, be direct? But obviously, he looks like he's holding back on a lot of information.
Well, yeah, usually guys that are trying to hide something, usually they do kind of short answer things. And, it's the same thing with Gene Chizik. He, as well, I think, has tried not to have to elaborate. He's tried to turn the other cheek when that question is being asked. It's the last thing that he wants to talk about when he's at the podium. But I'm sorry, this is major news. I mean, we're not talking about taking a $100 handshake here. We're talking a couple $100,000 here. So people deserve answers, and sooner or later they're going to come out and they're going to get them.
Well, the FBI is certainly sniffing around, too, and so I just think this is going to be really ugly when it all shakes itself out. And I guess, you know, as a player, how does this affect the team and the focus? I mean, yeah, they're gearing up and getting ready for Georgia, but, you know, they're one of the top two teams in the country right now.
Well, especially at Auburn. I mean, all you have to do is go back to, what was it, 2004, when they were the team that was left out. They
yes.
run the table, they go undefeated. What happens if they do end up running the table here and winning a championship, and then they have to forfeit because they played with an ineligible player and the quarterback and maybe the Heisman Trophy winner? So, sure, I'm sure that there are kids on that team that are affected by it. I mean, just having to answer the questions, because if they're asking Gene Chizik and Cam Newton that same question 10 times, you know, they're asking some of the teammates, you know, once or twice as well. I mean, it doesn't stop just at Gene Chizik and Cam Newton, because everybody's always looking for that little nugget to break something open, and who knows who has that nugget. So they continue to ask questions, and they will until they find out the final answer. But yeah, for Auburn, this couldn't have come at a worse time. I mean, here they have all this momentum, and there was this positive feeling about Auburn. And, I mean, it's Gene Chizik, the coach with the losing record from Iowa State, that gets the job, and people yelling at him at the airport when he got off the plane. And just unbelievable to think now where he has his team ranked, and they hold on to their own destiny here. I mean, they decide where they're going to go and where they're going to end up. But, wow, I mean, really a black eye now. And in a lot of people's eyes, they don't look at it as innocent until proven guilty. Now it's you're guilty till proven innocent.
That's a very good point. It's our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter. And let's talk a little bit about, as far as the Heisman watch. We were just, you know, delving into the conversation as far as with Cam Newton and the accusations. But who do you like in the watch list? I mean, now kind of, you know, creeping his way in and continuing to move up, his stock continues to rise, is the quarterback at TCU, Andy Dalton, what he's been able to do this season.
Well, after that performance on Saturday against Utah, you have to put him in the conversation. He's a guy that, it's funny, I was out this morning raking some leaves, and I was just thinking about the Heisman vote and kind of where my mind is. And I said to myself, how could I not include him at least in the conversation here? And that's all it is for me at this point. Nobody, I don't care how many games we've played so far, the season's not over yet, and a lot can change in the last 3-4 games of the year. So this guy's done nothing but win. He's done nothing but act like a professional. And I'll tell you, after that beatdown they put on Utah and the performance that he had, he should be on everybody's short list, without a doubt. But besides Andy Dalton, in terms of the Heisman, I really like the running back out of Oregon, though, Michael James. He is he's explosive. He's fun to watch. He's the kind of guy I guess you want on your team, and he kind of defies all odds. I mean, he's the little guy back there. I mean, nowadays so many people have these bigger running backs that are all kind of jacked up and 6 feet, 6'1", and 210, 215 pounds. He's just a little guy back there, but boy, he just hits the hole like he's shot out of a cannon. So, you know, right now I'm just kind of taking note of a lot of guys, but those are certainly three guys off the top of my head that I like.
I guess I didn't realize that you are a Heisman voter. What is that process like when you start putting, you know, making your final decisions?
I kind of look at the consistency for, for guys that, you know, throw for 350, 400 yards one game, and then the next they're throwing three picks and a losing effort. For me, a lot does have to do with how your team does. You know, where you fit amongst your scheme, and what are you trying to get done on the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball. I mean, last year, Ndamukong Suh out of Nebraska, he was a guy who was being talked about for the Heisman Trophy a lot, and he was certainly somebody that I considered. But I think you got to look at everybody and how they fit, how they're being used in their scheme. And I think you also have to look at the competition that they're playing, and you got to take all factors in, because if it was just about statistics, you know, there would be guys on that list or on that short list that maybe don't deserve to be there. You know, I think off the field character is another thing that I think you have to take into consideration. So there's many things when coming down to a final decision on that Heisman ballot.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We're quickly running out of time. Let's talk about your Nebraska Cornhuskers right now. They've won 3 straight. They've got an not tough opponent with the Kansas Jayhawks, but it's kind of cool in many ways. This is a homecoming for Turner Gill now in his first year as the head coach at Kansas. I mean, he was a star quarterback in, what, the 80s, and he was an assistant coach. In fact, he was on the coaching staff when you were there and had such a prolific career at Nebraska, JP?
He's the enemy, though, Alyssa. That's the way you got to look at it, at least for those 3 hours out there on that field. We've talked about it a lot this past week, and are there people out there that want Kansas to do well, not win, but do well? And to me, as a guy who wore the red and white, no. I mean, for 3 hours, he's the enemy. He's not on my speed dial list, let's just say that. Certainly, if I run into Turner, and we'll have a conversation and say hello and be cordial and so on and so forth. But for those 3 hours, he's on the other side of the field. And that's the mentality I know you have to take as a player, is that it doesn't matter who's over there, whether it's a buddy you met on a recruiting trip when you guys were seniors, whether it's a cousin, a family member, he's the enemy. And for 3 hours, that's the mindset that you have to have. But certainly after the game, you know, if I get the opportunity to see Turner, I'll certainly say hello and wish him the best. It hasn't been the easiest year for him down there. I think he's finding out that the Big 12 isn't the university at Buffalo. So, but he's a smart football coach and a very smart man, and he finds a way to get young men to follow him. And as a head coach, that's what you're asking these kids to do.
Only time for one or two more questions with Jason Peter in our Under the Helmet segment this week. Of course, let's talk about, just quickly, in terms of your quarterback situation with the Huskers, Taylor Martinez. Is he going to even play? I mean, does he need to continue to rest up his ankle injury? Because you guys have a big opponent. R.C. Slocum and I were just talking about that. The Cornhuskers are headed into College Station next week.
They need to play him. If he's healthy, you'd think that Nebraska could put Taylor Martinez on the sidelines for another week and you'd still be able to line up and beat Kansas because we have better football players than them. Well, that was the same thinking as last week against Iowa State. And truth be told, Iowa State probably deserved to win that football game. What a call by Paul Rhodes down there going for two in overtime. The kid was wide open. Just a bad throw by the holder. I mean, he just kind of alligator armed it, and Eric Hagg, the defensive back from Nebraska, picked it. Wasn't so much of a great play on his part. It was just a bad play on the holder because the tight end, he was wide open, and Iowa State should have won that game and won back-to-back games against Nebraska. But a lot of it had to do with the play of the quarterback. Wasn't great. Didn't really give Nebraska a chance to be two-dimensional on Iowa State. And like I said before, the easiest thing for a defense to do is to play against an offense that's one-dimensional, and that's what Nebraska was. But even with that, Nebraska should have been able to line up and just continue to pound the ball. And for most of the game, they were able to do that. I don't think they've been able to put a full four quarters together, but the problem lies on the defense. You know, so much has been made about the defense since Bo has gotten here, and it's gotten tremendously better than when Kevin Cosgrove was running the defense for Bill Callahan. But, you know, Bo made a comment about how they were going to be better this year than they were last year in 2009, and certainly, in my eyes, nowhere even near where they were in 2009. But, you know, ultimately, if you want to be a championship-type team, whether it's winning the Big 12 or winning a national championship, you got to play great defense, and Nebraska's not playing great defense right now.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Of course, Nebraska, they have won three straight, 7 o'clock kickoff. JP, I'm so sorry to cut you short this week. We never do that. So we'll definitely double up next week, and we look forward to talking to you. Okay, JP?
Definitely, Alyssa.
Stick around. We've got much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show.